Well, I wanted to share something that I saw this morning. Normally, I like to share jokes if they pertain to the lesson, but some of these are too good not to share. So. Okay. Ten things you never hear in church. One. Hey, it's my turn to sit in the front pew. I was so enthralled, I never noticed your sermon went 25 minutes over time. Personally, I find talking about God much more enjoyable than golf. I hope they ask me to speak today. I volunteered to be the permanent teacher for the junior high Sunday school class. I have never heard any of these things. Let's see. Forget the denominational minimum salary. Let's pay our pastors so they can live like we do. I love it when we sing hymns I've never heard before. It's not comfortable to do that. I love this one. Since we're all here, let's start the service early. Not here. Not Unity, no. Pastor, we'd like to send you to this Bible seminar in the Bahamas. And then finally, nothing inspires me and strengthens my commitment like our annual stewardship campaign. We don't have those, but yeah. Well, and then it was like divine order, because this is from Chris Chenoweth. He has an online practical Christianity, positive Christianity, I think it's called. Anyway, it was on there. And then he's got on here, he says it's the positive Christianity version of the Serenity Prayer. And I was going to start with the Serenity Prayer. And I knew that Pat had used the Serenity Prayer when she spoke a few weeks ago talking about it. So I wanted to read this fuller version of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We all know that part. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hard times as temporary, taking as God did this world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that God will make things, all things right, if I surrender to God's will. That I may be happy in this life and supremely happy with God forever in this day and my future. Isn't that pretty? I don't know if that's what the original writer, and by the way, I had no idea that the author was from Wright City. That was very interesting. Who knew? Yeah. So I did want to kind of start things with a Serenity Prayer. I the whole thing is about wisdom, which is exactly what we're talking about today. Wisdom. Who would like to have more wisdom? After I die, at least the body part, I would like from my tombstone to say something like, she was wise. You know, I'd much rather it say that than a multitude of other things, you know, or sometimes was wise. So wisdom is that thing that we all ascribe to. And this week is the week that we're going to focus on wisdom from Divine Audacity. Linda Martella-Witsit, the author of this book, has talked about the 12 powers in, I believe, ways that will allow us to use these as tools so that we can further enhance each of these capabilities, each of these capacities, the powers. So today is about wisdom. As she does every chapter so far, she starts out with scripture, and I'd like to share the first one with you. This is from Proverbs. I don't usually read from Proverbs. It's called Wisdom Writings, but this one is just beautiful. This is Proverbs 4. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever else you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Notice that wisdom is referred to in the feminine, which I thought was interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about that. When we talk about the serenity prayer, wisdom, the whole thing is about wisdom, but you know, when we think about the accepting the things that we cannot change, who doesn't know someone who just keeps ramming their head against brick walls? You know, it's like, well, if I just keep doing it long enough, it'll change things. Maybe not. or the courage to change things. That's sometimes difficult to do. If changing things in the outer is, sometimes takes great courage to step out and stand up for what we think needs to be changed. If we decide to change things on the inner, that also takes great courage, because it's not easy to look at old structures of knowing, old ways of being, old patterns, and then the discernment, the ability to tell the difference. All of that speaks to wisdom that we want to know. Now, she differentiates between wisdom and knowledge. She said sometimes people use the two terms interchangeably. But she has a difference that she talks about. She says, wisdom is often compared to knowledge. Knowledge, however, is our recall of information accumulated and stored in our brains. Knowledge is based on experience as well as study. It relies on our capacity to sift through stored information in ways that form connections and reach conclusions. All of that is knowledge. Wisdom is applied knowledge. It's being able to take what we know and use it in a way that is very profitable or more meaningful. Our decision-making capacity through mental evaluation, spiritual discernment, and moment-by-moment intuition. The difference I was thinking about, knowledge is knowing that stove is hot and the stove would burn anyone who puts their hand on it. Wisdom is keeping our own hands off of it and keeping any children from touching it too. It is applied knowledge. So wisdom. Now she talks about the feminine. She talks a little, and I won't go into it a whole lot. There, the feminine, she talks about Sophia, which apparently is the Greek personification of wisdom, and then she talks about the masculine side of wisdom being the Holy Spirit, that in the New Testament it talks about the Holy Spirit was put into humankind. So we have that aspect of it. But nevertheless, whether it's the feminine or masculine or both, she says that it's important that we consider evolving our wisdom, enhancing, increasing our wisdom in all aspects of our lives, not just our spirituality. Our physical, she says this. This is from 12 Powers of Man, actually Charles Fillmore in 12 Powers of Man. In the body, conclusions are reached through experience. In intellect, reason is the assumed arbiter of every question. In spirit, intuition and inspiration bring the quick and sure answer to all the problems of life. So it's best if we try to develop, if we focus on wisdom for everything, for all of our lives. So then she talks about wisdom, and like she usually does, she breaks it down into three parts. And the three parts are judgment, discernment, and intuition. So as she talks about these three parts. Now the first part, when you think of judgment, what's your first reaction? Oof, right? Kind of a, I don't want to I don't want to be judgmental. And that too often, I think that has gotten to be the go-to feeling or experience when we think about judgment. But judgment doesn't have to be judgmental. Judgment is, in her words, kind of an evaluating tool. And we do that all the time. It's really good if we do that a lot, actually. She talks about how she remembers, even as a very young person, when she had some decision that she needed to make, she would take out a piece of paper, draw a vertical line, and have pro and con. So she would write out the pros and cons of almost everything, you know, whether or not to keep a boyfriend, whatever decision was looking at her in the moment. Evaluating, clarifying, seeking with our minds to be able to have the information that we want. So this aspect of judging is very important. It's a really good thing. She talks about self-evaluation, self-judgment. And when we turn this tool inward, the questions that we can ask are these. She says, self-evaluation at the heart of our wisdom ability leads us to ask ourselves, here are questions. What is the right thing for me to do? What is my true nature I am here to express in this situation? What is the truth underlying this appearance? What would I choose to do if I knew I was love, wisdom, and strength, or any of my spiritual abilities? What have I done that I would do differently next time? She talks about this in the context of judging rightly. So it is about evaluating honestly and clearly. You know, what am I thinking? What are my actions doing? I've seen, probably you have too, people who say one thing, but their actions are saying a whole different thing. Judge rightly. Evaluate situations and events and ourselves. And then she said, this is where I was thinking it was, when you can do this, then you are going to be in a state of heaven. We know that heaven is that state of consciousness. It is a state of peace and harmony and well-being. So when we are evaluating, when we are judging rightly, that's what happens inside. And that's a measure that we can use to test. So that's judgment. That's one aspect of wisdom. We need to be able to evaluate and do it rightly. Discernment. The whole Serenity Prayer is about discernment, is it not? Absolutely. It's waiting to know. She talks about how she sometimes gets an idea and just was ready to take off with it, you know, just go like crazy. But she said she has learned that it's best to kind of wait and allow spirit, allow her higher self to know when and what is the next and right thing to do. Now, I have a friend, a dear friend, actually, Donna, you've probably heard me talk about her. I consider her almost like another sister. She pioneered a church in north of Dallas. I think it opened in 2005. And when she was going through all of the efforts, all of the work that had to be done to open a new church, to start one new, there was tons of paperwork. All the T's had to be crossed and the I's had to be dotted, and seemed like it was sort of hurry up and do this and then you wait, and then hurry up and do that and you wait. So this whole process of creating this new center could have been very frustrating, but I heard her say time and time again, this is all done in spirit time. So she wouldn't buy into the pressures. There were people who were getting anxious, maybe not the right word, but frustrated because it wasn't moving faster, and when are we going to have our first service, and who's our musician going to be, and you know, all of this that was going on. And she was calm, and she stayed centered, and she kept saying to people, We're doing this in spirit time. That's discernment. I think a great example of discernment. She said it's living the question. Has anybody had something that they wanted to resolve or to do, and you did that? Ever? Some have, I have. And what I've experienced is it's much better when I can, when I take my cue from that inner knowing that, okay, it's time to move now. It's all right. It's not pushing the river. It's important to do that. Living the question. Allow yourself to be in that unknowing place. And it's not a comfortable place to be always. She had something in here. Discernment is the ability not to rely upon facts, but upon principles and decision making. In spiritual practice, discernment is exercised through a process that includes questioning, meditating, and envisioning while suspending judgment about any divine ideas generated. Did you know that here on the board, we use a discernment process to see who's going to be the officers? We don't elect our officers, they are discerned through a process. First church I've ever experienced with that, and it's beautiful, beautiful to watch. She had a scripture at the beginning of the chapter that was from Isaiah. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk it. Walk in it." That's discernment. It is that trust and waiting. I'm just discerning. So wisdom is knowing when to move forward. And the last part, intuition. I tried to think of a way to do this. Well, I mean, I could have if I had taken some time with the costume, but I thought about trying to recreate Johnny Carson's costume. Remember when he would come out with the cape and the turban? And I forgot the name of the character that he was, you know, but he would come out and look all regal and, you know, mystic. And he would have an envelope that would and he would touch it to his forehead, and he would have several answers that made no sense, you know, just as answered. And then he would open the envelope, and there would be several questions, and of course they were always funny, and you know, so I was thinking about trying to do that. Intuition, you know, that's what it was getting at, is some inner knowing that he knew just from holding that envelope. Who uses their inner knowing here a lot? Look at the hands, that's great. It took me a lot of years to trust that intuition within. I probably heard it a lot when I was younger, but I just disregarded it. Oh, that can't be, or who am I to think that? But I have come to rely on it now. I listen for that intuition. It is very powerful, very powerful. She had two stories that illustrated an inner knowing, intuition. One of them had to do with and both regarding the same kind of situation. One was about a pediatrician that she heard an interview on NPR. This pediatrician was recalling an incident where he was in a grocery store and a child was crying, having a fit. Anybody relate? I remember, you know, some things are emblazed in your brain. It's uncomfortable, is it not, when your child is doing that? Anyway, so here's this, he walks up and here's this child. And the mom is upset, she's swatting him, telling him to be quiet, and the child is not being quiet. And the pediatrician's first inclination, he said, was to go over and say, you know, to try to rescue the child. And then something told him, what do I know about this? And he let himself just pause with that for a moment. And then when he did, he went over to the mother and said to her, "It's really hard when you have to bring your child to the store, isn't it?" And she burst into tears, and she it it was a great release for her, or a good release anyway, and she it changed the whole energy of the whole thing. The child even stopped crying and went over to comfort the mother, you know? It changed everything. His knowing allowed him to do something that was very healing in the moment. And contrast that with the way she, I love her openness. She's very transparent about things and uses some great examples. And in this one, she and her husband were in Honolulu. I think he was stationed there. And they had gone to a drive-in. They were halfway through. It was a double feature, and the first movie was finished, waiting for the second. It was about 11:30 at night. And the car next to them, now if you've been to a drive-in, you know all the windows are down, right? So the car next to them, a child was in the back seat in a child seat, strapped in, crying. Every once in a while, the mother would turn around and swat the child and tell the little girl to be quiet, be still. And she says, and I have to share this with you. This went on for a long while, and I grew angrier by the minute. I told Giles, I have to do something about this. He recommended I not. I couldn't help it. I yelled out to the two adults, that child doesn't need to be spanked. She needs to be at home in bed, asleep. The man yelled back at me that the matter was none of my business. Just as the man opened his car door to step out, Giles ripped off the speaker that had been hanging on our car window and dropped it to the ground. He turned the key in the ignition and raced out of the lot. By now, I was sobbing, worried about that baby and not understanding why Giles was hurrying out of there. First, Giles said, he was concerned about our safety. What if this guy had a gun? Second, and more pointed, he thought that the chances were that the child would be treated worse after I had agitated his parents. I would have liked to have had a do-over on that one. Two examples of one listening to that inner knowing, and the second not, you know, following through on the emotional level, just let me fix this and fix it now. This isn't right. And it didn't go nearly as well. It takes strength to do that waiting, you know, that intuitive, allowing yourself to have that intuitive knowing. She talks too about this intuition being how powerful. There's an aha or an uh-oh power. She refers to it as kind of like our internal guidance system. We all have that. We all know that when we're doing something, we know when something is, it's almost, do you ever play the game, getting warmer, warmer, colder, colder, when you were a kid? You kind of know, you know, when you start to do something and inside it doesn't feel very good or it starts to feel lovely, aha or uh-oh. We have that. That's that intuitive nature of us. And we can use it and be more wise. So there are these three aspects to wisdom that can serve us well if we can boost them. The judgment, the rightful judging, evaluating, the discernment, asking ourselves those questions. Intuition, letting that strong inner knowing guide us and lead us in ways. And the way we can do this is to just practice and practice. I want to close with a prayer. This is from Offbeat Prayers for the Modern Mystic. I think I've shared from this book before. Ann Sermons Gillis. And this is the prayer for today, she says. God, I seek your wisdom. Give me sanity so that before I do and say things I regret, that I might stop to think and make a meaningful decision to keep my mouth shut and do nothing. Give me the wisdom to not jump to conclusions and get upset over meaningless mental mania, especially when it's the same old stuff. Give me the wisdom to know the difference between someone who genuinely needs my compassion and someone who is milking the same drama for the umpteenth time. It takes a lot of listening to know when to speak to or when to listen to others. Give me the patience to stay tuned into your will in all situations. God, there are so many bugga-buggas in our culture. It's not okay to feel certain feelings or to talk openly about sex, money, mental illness, AIDS, or alternate lifestyles. Give me the wisdom to know when to break the rules of denial by speaking out for sanity and openness. And beyond all, Lord, teach me to feel the intoxication of your love. Amen.
Feel God's presence. We are here to feel this love. Breathe in beauty. Breathe out all fear. Just let it go and rise above.
I invite you now to gently close your outer eyes if you have not already done so. I invite you to relax, to let go of all of the outer distractions, busyness. I invite you to become fully present here. Now, in these times of quiet, we are able to reconnect to the truth of our beings, to that presence, source, the all, one, God, whatever we want to call it. When we become still in our minds and our bodies, we are much better able to be open and receptive to allow that attunement to happen, that alignment. And when we do, we are able to rest. We can put down all of the burdens. We do so now. We lay them by the side. We can choose to pick them up later if we like. In this silence, we let go of any expectation of ourselves or others. We just become fully present to the I am-ness of this moment. To the truth of this moment. When we consider that each and every one of us is made of the same stuff, it's mind-blowing. that life itself that causes this form to have movement, that life force moves in every other living being. It is eternal. We are eternal. That part of us is eternal. And that is powerful beyond measure. This oneness is our union with the divine, and it is greater than any external appearance or event or situation. When we step into this alignment, when we step into the realization of this oneness, we discover that true power. And we get to decide to let it shine through us. By being still in body and mind, and being open and receptive, we are allowing that Christ in us, as us, to express in wondrous ways. We say that we are the light of the world. This is Unity Church of Light. And the light represents the Christ, as we know. So we are unity of the Christ. We are Christ beings. Our being here in this world makes a difference. Our being here and choosing to be light, choosing to be wisdom, choosing to be love, choosing to be peace, choosing to be any of those attributes that we call God, is adding a dimension, a vibration of healing to this planet that wouldn't be here if you were not here. You are a divine being, so necessary, so needed, so beloved. No one can take your place. You are magnificent. And as we do each week, let us take a few moments in silence to be at one, to feel and experience that attunement, to be one in the silence. We come away from these times of connection, these times of attunement, with exactly what we need in the moment. We come away with health. We come away with abundance. We come away with peace and joy and love and wisdom. Here and today and now, we set an intention to be that light in the world, to be wisdom expressing. And we are grateful. We are grateful for the awareness that allows us to know these truths. We are grateful for the awareness that we get to choose who and what we express on this day and in this week and in this month. Because anything and everything we do is between us and the Creator. And that is powerful. And we are grateful to be this spiritual community, this spiritual family that comes together to know these truths and practice these truths every week. And so as we do every week, let us affirm the truths of our way-shower, Jesus Christ, as we affirm together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.